Godlessness in the last days. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay, I have three props that I would like to use this morning. Let me just put them out for you. I will explain them as I go along. Today we are continuing our series in 2 Timothy and we are looking at chapter 3. I have entitled this, Living for God in Ungodly Days. Paul is writing to Timothy from prison because he wants to give him direction and encourage him to keep going. I've split the chapter into three sections that are represented by my three props. Please keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage together. But before we launch straight into the passage, I would like to share a story with you. It represents the first of my props here, which is this warning sign. The story I'd like to share is actually about Tom, as I couldn't think of one about myself. Sorry, Tom. Tom was 10, and he and his family had gone to a theme park. Now, at this theme park, there was a snakes and ladders area full of slides. Tom had climbed to the top and was just about to come down one of the slides. His mum was waiting at the bottom with his two sisters and watched Tom as he read a sign just next to the slide. Tom's mum knew exactly what Tom was thinking. But being weighed down by two other children and Tom being too far away to hear her shouting, she was helpless to do anything. Tom read the sign, "Do not go down backwards." Tom thought for a split second and then launched down the slide, backwards. Tom shot straight out the bottom and slid across the tarmac. When he finally stopped, he was winded and had grazed the whole of his back. He was in tears for a long time afterwards. Tom had not listened to the warning. So the first section of this passage is Paul warning Timothy. This is what it will be like in the last days, Timothy. He's saying, watch out. And for us, this message is just as relevant as it was to Timothy. The last days refer to the whole age started by Christ. Now is for Paul and Timothy, and now is also for us. We are all in the last days. We are in a war that Satan has waged against God and his people. Paul, in this first part of the passage, is warning Timothy, this is what it will be like in the last days. Satan wants to distract you from your purpose and calling, and one way that he will do this is to get into the church through false teachers. The warning comes to Timothy as a descriptive list of what the false teachers are like. These are the ungodly who will oppose God. You are living in ungodly days, Timothy. Watch out. This list shows Timothy and us the wickedness of the false teachers. So let's look at this list. This is the bit I'm dreading. There we go. Worked. Hooray. There is one theme that underlines all of these problems, and this is the thing that Paul starts with in verse 2. He says, people will be lovers of themselves. That is pretty much the foundation for every problem in this list. When we choose to put ourselves first instead of God, so many disastrous things can start to happen. And so the list goes on. Selfishness leads to lovers of money, materialism, leads to those who are boastful and proud. There we go. Selfishness leads to destructive behaviour where people will be abusive and disobedient to their parents. Paul then moves on to the unproblems, the ungrateful, unholy, unloving and unforgiving. These are all direct opposites of living a godly life. Next we have slanderous and lack of self-control. These reflect problems in speech and behaviour. False teachers will be those who spread rumours, and if they lack self-control, they will be brutal, not lovers of the good. They will be treacherous, rash, and conceited. And finally, Paul rounds off this list with lovers of pleasure rather than of God. Again, this is all underlined in selfishness. They live to please themselves and not God. So why does Timothy need to be told about these things, and is this relevant for us? Paul is warning Timothy about these people, but I think this can be a warning for us too. I'm not saying I think we have problems here at Fairfield with our elders or our church leaders, not at all. I think they do an amazing job. But I think we can all look at this list as teachers in the sense that as we live as Christians, we teach the rest of the world about what being a Christian is about. And for us, are there areas where we need to seek God's forgiveness and power for change? Paul talks in verse 5 about how these false teachers have a form of godliness but deny its power. So basically, they preach it, but they don't practice it. They believe they can have all the right knowledge and then do a few good outward signs like circumcision or performing a certain ritual, and that would mean that they were spiritual. But Paul is very clear that relationship with God is not just about head knowledge, but is also about God's obedience to God's teaching. Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. They do the opposite to what we're supposed to do. In John 13:35, Jesus says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's what we should be doing. Head knowledge without practical results is useless. But of course, this is always a constant struggle to get what we know in our heads to reflect how we live. But if our relationship with God through Christ is not producing a visible difference of lifestyle, then we cannot be experiencing genuine godliness. It's not an excuse just to say that ungodly behaviour is just human nature, because Christ came to renew human nature, and genuine life in the Spirit shows that this renewal is taking place. For Paul, this is serious stuff. He warns Timothy, have nothing to do with people like this. Verse 5, that's how serious this is. Paul isn't asking Timothy to terminate all relationships. In chapter 2, verse 24, Paul calls for kindness to all. But Paul is suggesting that Timothy practice a separation in spirit from the actions and attitudes of these people, because Timothy is different. His aim is to live for God in ungodly days. Paul goes on to illustrate the types of things these false teachers will do and how they would worm their way into homes and take advantage of vulnerable women who would be taken in by their words and practices. But the emphasis of this example from Paul is that in the end, they will not get very far, as their folly will be clear to everyone. Paul uses the example of Jannes and Jambres, who were thought to be two of Pharaoh's magicians in Exodus 7, who tried to demonstrate that they could work miracles as well as Moses. Paul's point here is that both these false teachers and magicians were not living in the truth of God, and so would be found out. Paul has described to Timothy what things will be like in the last days, how people will be ungodly, and it's a bad picture. But Paul now goes on to tell Timothy how he can still be godly in these ungodly days. It's now time for my second prop. I have here a whole pile of post-it notes that I find very useful at home and at work to help me to remember to do things. My sister-in-law has just taken her A-levels, and as part of her revision, she had post-it notes all up around her room and all over the house with quotes and dates and things to remind her. And so these post-it notes help us to remember. And Paul, at the beginning of this next section, says to Timothy, this is what you must be like in verse 10 onwards. Remember, think back to what you have witnessed, to what you have been taught. Remember. Paul uses himself as an example to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you know what I'm like, you know what I live for, what I stand for. And here we have another list that is very different to the first. Paul says, you know about my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. Paul's purpose is absolutely clear, to serve Christ faithfully. And in this case, that meant preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Timothy had joined Paul in his work, and he must now carry on without Paul. Paul gives Timothy examples that will help him to remember. He says, you know what happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Timothy did know about Paul's sufferings, as he would have witnessed Paul being stoned in Lystra in Acts 14. Paul encourages Timothy to keep going throughout the whole passage, as if he's saying, you know what it was like, you know what it is like, and you know what it will be like. You were there with me in the persecutions, and I've just been telling you about the false teachers that are here now and in the future. But you also know how God rescued me, not from the actual persecutions, but he gave me the strength to go through them, and on these occasions did rescue me from death. Paul doesn't go into the purpose of suffering in this letter. However, he does make it clear that it is a normal part of the Christian experience. Verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Living for God in ungodly days is a decision that we all need to make. God's intervention in willing lives produces dramatic visible change. God's enemies will respond to this with persecution, so they will not like our new set of values and priorities. So how does this apply for us living in the UK today? Well, genuine godliness will make some unbelievers aggressive and confrontational, even if the prevailing attitudes or laws make room for religious freedom. However, do we hide away from taking a stand for Christ at work, in our neighbourhood, school, or family because we value human acceptance more than God's? If we understand Paul's concept of godliness and embrace it, we can expect in some measure to know the cost of following Christ. A few months ago, Mark Green came to speak here, and I'm currently reading his book, Thank God It's Monday. I would definitely recommend it. It gives great insight into being a Christian in the workplace and is full of true stories. I'd just like to read one for you now. Fraser is an investment broker. He joined a major financial institution to sell an investment product that he had been reported to have yielded returns well ahead of the market for years. Within 3 days, he realized this wasn't true. He questioned the numbers, and life started to become very difficult for him. He found himself a lawyer, documented every finding, and eventually took the issue to the regulatory bodies. They agreed he had a case, but the city couldn't take another scandal. If he went ahead with it, he would probably be sued by the companies involved, tied up in the courts by heavy-duty lawyers, financially ruined, and likely never to work again. Fraser decided enough was enough. He negotiated himself out of his job and joined another company for a salary and a position considerably less advantageous. Sometimes the truth is very costly indeed, but, as one financial advisor put in a seminar, not as costly as dishonouring God, and ultimately far more rewarding. Does he not promise, those who honour me, I will honour? Ultimately, our loyalty is to Christ. This guy was willing to make a sacrifice for what he knew was right. So am I, are we? But we know, because Paul has reminded Timothy in verse 11, that God is faithful and will give us what we need to endure and carry on regardless of pressures and persecutions. But how? How do we keep going, keep preaching the gospel, and not be influenced by the godlessness of these days? Paul says to Timothy that he must continue with what he has learned. He must remember everything he knows through training and experience from Paul and also from what he has been taught growing up. Chapter 1, verse 5 mentions Timothy's grandmother and mother and their faith and how Timothy has been taught all these things from when he was young. This brings us to section 3 and prop 3, which is the Bible, the scriptures. Timothy, says Paul in verse 14, you know the scriptures, which have been the source of all of this teaching, and you must continue to feed on them daily, so that they will, verse 15, make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. The scriptures will make you wise. The scriptures point to the Saviour who provides salvation. And just before we go into what Paul says about the scriptures, I'd like to say how thankful I am to parents and grandparents and older Christians in the church who have taught me the scriptures and prayed and continue to pray for me. We all have a responsibility to those younger in faith than us to help teach and equip them in the faith and pray for them. Sunday school teachers and youth leaders do an amazing job in such an important and crucial role. Let's continue to pray for them and our children and young people. In fact, let's pray for the children now as they're up in their session. Father God, we thank you for all the young people and children that we have in this church. We pray that you would continue to be at work in their lives, that they would know you better each day. Thank you for all the Sunday school teachers and youth leaders that do such a great job. Please encourage them and renew their strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul reminds Timothy what he has learned and points him towards the scriptures. He says, all scripture is God-breathed. God has breathed his character into scripture so that it is inspired. God-breathed is a statement saying where it has come from. The scriptures are distinctive because they come from God himself. Ultimately, the scriptures are relevant and useful because they are God's word. So Paul goes on to talk about the relevance of scripture in its various uses. It's useful for teaching. We need to be instructed in sound doctrine and in the ways of Christian living. It is vital to build up the community of believers with good teaching. It's not a coincidence that Paul talks first about the false teaching and now instructs Timothy in how to go about right teaching. The ways of Christian living are found in scripture. It's useful for rebuking and correcting. Scripture can show us all, the sinner, our failures, can clarify where we've gone wrong and lead us into peace and wholeness. In correcting, the scriptures are used by God to restore people to where he wants them to be. It's useful for training in righteousness. This is the goal of the teaching and disciplining. If we apply scripture's principles in our lives, then we will be able to make progress in a life that is pleasing to God. And finally, it says so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a great statement. We have all that we need right here. Scripture gives us all that we need to live the Christian life. But it's only through the constant study of God's word that we will be equipped. Paul is urging Timothy to nurture his spiritual life in the scriptures so that he would be fully qualified and prepared to undertake whatever tasks God may put before him. I want to urge myself and you to nurture our spiritual lives in the scriptures. A quote from Thomas Lee says, what a tragedy for any Christian to be labelled as spiritually unprepared for a task when the means of instruction in preparation are readily at hand. Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 10 that we have been saved to do good works. We are saved so that we will bear tangible fruit in our lives, and we can only do this if we are fed with the scriptures. A few weeks ago, Tom was working in Coventry, so he had the car from Monday to Friday. That meant that I had to catch the bus to work instead of taking the car as I normally would. In doing this, I realised how much of the Bible I could read on my way there and back. I was flying through books. It was amazing. However, as soon as Tom stopped working away, there was and there still is a decision for me to make. If I get the bus, I can read loads of the Bible, and it's a part of my routine that won't easily be interrupted by other things. But it does mean that I have to get up earlier in the mornings than if I was taking the car. For me, getting the bus would mean that there is a consistent Bible reading slot that would appear in my day, but it does require sacrifice. I could choose to do it another time of the day, and that would be fine. But knowing the way that life is and its busyness, before I know it, often it's time for bed, and I think, oh, I'll read a quick verse, but it's okay because I'll fit it better in tomorrow. Maybe this is something that we can all challenge each other about. Let's ask each other how our reading of the Bible is, and maybe for those of you that don't struggle with this, you can encourage the ones that do. Living for God in ungodly days is difficult, but it can be done. So, just to go over what we've looked at, what Paul is saying to Timothy and what can we learn from it. He warns Timothy, prop number one, he's telling him what things will be like in the last days and how to avoid false teachers. Then he urges Timothy to remember what he has learnt, seen in other believers, and what he has been taught growing up in the scriptures. And then he encourages Timothy that Christians find strength as they obey God's commands and rely on his promises. Keep grounded in the scriptures so that you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.